I want to read some scripture for you this morning from Isaiah 55, verses 5 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, just like that, so that the seeds for the sower and the bread for the eater, just like that, so is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thank you, God. Let's start with a word of prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning to not talk about me or the Gideons even, but to talk about what you're doing through this outreach of the local church. Put me behind the cross, dear Lord, and let everyone know that it's about you, not about any of us. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. You know, just like the rain comes down and waters the plants and doesn't go back, you know, doesn't just dry up and do nothing, just like that, when we pass out God's word, it won't return void. That's why we do what we do as Gideons and Auxiliary, because we know that we're making opportunity for God to save souls. We can't save souls, but we can give the opportunity for them to do that. I want you to watch this video as I'm speaking. That way you won't be looking at me, but this is a video of some local distributions we've made not too distant past. But again, thanks for letting me be here. I want to share with you what God is doing, not only around the world, but here in Wood County, locally. I know you know that, and you all know a lot about the Gideons. We have several in the church, and we're looking for more Gideons and Auxiliary. But it's not only do we pass out scriptures throughout the world, we pass them out here locally as well. But I want to also want you to pray about and think about whether or not God's calling you to be part of this ministry. So please pray about that, because our only purpose is to win souls for Jesus Christ. You know, back in 1989, Nanette, you were probably at this church that Brenda and I were at as a little girl, 43 years ago, I believe it was. But we were active in the church. Brenda and I both were. But I made a prayer. I said, God, what else would you like me to do to serve you? What else could I possibly do to serve you more? Well, be careful while you pray, because I prayed that, and it wasn't but a couple weeks later, and a local Gideon called and said, I didn't have an idea who it was. I know who he is now. He's a great friend. Through the Gideons. But he said, well, would you like to come to a free dinner and learn more about the Gideons? Well, you know what I heard? Free dinner. I said, sure, I'll be glad to go. So I told Brenda, because at that time they didn't invite the wives to come. Now we invite the wives to come along. We found that they twist some ears, and that helps. But anyway, I said, I'll go learn more about the Gideons. I knew from fifth grade I'd received the little red testament in my church in Buchanan, where I grew up. But I didn't know that much about them since then. And I said, I'll go listen to the new member. I'll go to the dinner and get a free meal and learn about the Gideons, but I'm not going to join. Well, when I went there and learned more about the Gideons, and found out that their only purpose is to win souls for Christ, it was kind of hard for me to pray. What else could I do for you? And here he connects me with an organization whose only purpose is to win souls for him. So I came home and told my wife, guess what? I joined the Gideons, signed the application, and you're going to be a part of the auxiliary. I think I asked her, but anyway. And we didn't have time. I know what we talk about. We ask people to join the Gideons, and they have the same excuse that we could have used. We're too busy. We're busy in the church. I'm busy. I'm not retired. I'm working. Brenda and I were busy in the church in 1989, and we had three small boys raising them, and both were teaching school. Well, Brenda was teaching the three boys at that time at home, and I was teaching school, but we were both school teachers. But we listened to the call of God, signed the application, weren't as active as we should be then. We went to a meal once every week. Or once every month for the camp meeting, but we became more active as God gave us more time. God will give you the time, and you can use as much time or as little time as you have, as you think or as you have to do what you can for the Gideons. And as you grow up and grow old, you'll have more and more time to pass out scriptures and to do what God is praying you to do. And maybe you don't want to pass out scriptures. Maybe you don't want to get out there and do that. But the many different things you can do to support this ministry for God and to help win souls for Jesus Christ. So ask yourself about that. You know who the Gideons are. I don't need to tell you that. You know that we started back in 1809, but it's involved since then as an expanding mission to provide scriptures to all people everywhere. Today, we've given way more than 200 billion scriptures out around the world, not all in Wood County, but around the world, in more than 95 languages in over 200 countries. And again, you see some local areas of distribution. That's a dear friend there in a wheelchair who's going on to be with the Lord this year. That was Bill, but he was active up till he couldn't get out of his house. So he was active doing things for the Lord in this ministry for many years. We give out Bibles, as you see, in parades. Both South Camp and North Camp share the Easter parades and the homecoming parade. We give out Bibles in schools where they let us. We actually have to stand on the sidewalks, and that's in Jackson County, actually, there. But we give out Bibles at the middle schools on the sidewalk, and at the elementary schools we give them out by dropping off a box of Bibles for the number of fifth graders they have and give them to the principal or secretary, and they give them to the fifth grade teachers to offer them to the students. And we just heard this weekend as part of the conference of the report that said that one of our local middle schools had been delivered just recently a box of 88 testaments to offer to the fifth grade students. And 80 of those 88 testaments were given out. They took them. We can't force them. We can't even go into school. But the teacher offered them. And 80 out of the 88 were taken. And one of the little fifth graders came to the secretary and was so thankful that she'd received her own copy of God's Word. And we think we give these out to parades and so on. But we think we've oversaturated. But you never know. You don't want to miss one. So those that say we have two or three already, we say share them with a friend. God bless you. But you know, we always have some that say I don't have a scripture, I don't have a testament. Thank you very much for giving that. And part of what we just witnessed and reminded of at the convention was here in America. You think America needs God now? You think we're going down a slippery slope to who knows where? God needs His word passed out more than ever now. But you see we saw these reminders of Faith Fund, where Gideon's themselves and auxiliary give out money, and the money goes to support poor in countries that don't have enough money to buy their next meal, much less pay for scriptures. It helps them to have scriptures. But in foreign countries, you can go into schools in many of them and witness and actually hand the testaments to the students right in the classroom. Muslim schools, we were reminded that Muslim schools even let them pass out God's word. So that's, praise the Lord for that. But here in America, we've got to stay on the sidewalks, but we're able to get them out anyway. And that's one reason we do the parades and the fairs and festivals, is because we get to youth that are in school, but not through the schools. How can you help in this cause, you might ask? Many ways. One, you could become a part of the Gideons and Auxiliary. If you're a business professional man, you can join, and your wife can join if you're married. If you're not, you could get married, and then your wife could join. That's always an option. But if you're not a business professional man, we'll be the judge of that. We'll try to do what we can to see that you can join. But if you aren't quite qualified yet, you can become a friend of Gideon. Even our pastor can become a friend of the Gideons and support us in many ways, and we'll share things with you by being a friend. We ask that first and foremost for your prayers. We ask that you use our Gideon card program back in the Bible rack, and where you can ask Brooks or Pat or myself or Brenda or others about these beautiful cards that we have, these Gideon cards. And it's easy that they're easy to use. You simply take the card for free, fill it out, and put who it's in memory of or who it's in honor of. We not only have in memory cards, we have thinking of you cards on your special day, Janelle, cards. And you also give them a present, but you can give them simply let them know that you've honored them by placing Bibles out there in the memory of a loved one of theirs or in honor of a special occasion. Graduation's coming up. That's an excellent way to, a graduate doesn't necessarily appreciate as much if you put one Bible or 5 or 50 Bibles out in their honor, but give them some money or a present as well, and also let them know how honored they are, how much you think of them by doing that with the Gideon card. So we ask that you use those cards, and they're free, and all you do is send them, and then you decide how many Bibles you want to give, one or three or a half of one. So we thank God for that part of our ministry. I'd ask that you pray about becoming a Gideon, but you pray for us as well. We pray for the churches all over the place, every day, all around the world. But we ask that you pray for us and that God you continue to use us. And we ask for your support as well. I can guarantee you that 100% of what you give as a congregation goes to support nothing more than the printing and distributing of God's word around the world. Part of that is in here in the local area. But nothing that you might give will come out for overhead expenses. It's all going to the Bibles. So we'll have a couple of our fine youth back there by the doors when you leave. And I'm not asking you to give money that you have set aside for Cedar Grove, for your church, but anything extra that God has given you that you want to share, we would ask that you consider supporting us in that way. Well, Tim, I skipped right over some videos, but if you want to back up to the first video after the local distribution, this is Johnny Froelich's testimony. He's a character, was a character, and he has a nice testimony I want to share with you. So.
I'm here to share a story with you. It's not a new story, it's old. I've been serving the Lord for many years, but part of that serving the Lord is due to the Gideons and this powerful ministry. I'm going to take you to the campus of Mississippi State University. Beautiful fall morning, 1989. Clear, crisp skies. Front had just come through. A proud college boy bouncing his way to class. I turn the corner at the student union and encounter a bunch of old men in suits. Passing out testaments.
That's not part of the qualification, by the way.
And I was infuriated. As they handed me a testament, I threw it at them, spit on them, and began to curse and rant and rave. How dare you come to this campus and bring your lousy religion and push this on us? I paid good money to go to school here. Who do you think you are? And those guys just smiled at me. Let me finish what I had to say and continued passing out scriptures. I went to class so miserable and angry that the young lady sitting next to me left class crying. I'd offended her so badly of speaking about her God and her Lord and Savior. But I had left the campus for the weekend. I'd convinced my parents that I needed to drive 6 hours to work in New Orleans on the weekends at home. I could make more money and I could focus on my studies at school. But my real mission in New Orleans was to get drugs and fuel my addiction on alcohol and carousing and going to nightclubs. And so this particular Saturday, I had purchased more drugs than normal and was with some friends in a car, participating in getting high and taking drugs, and had the door open and the music loud, waiting for the nightclub to open. And as we were sitting there, two gentlemen approached the car with a track. And before they could get to me, I knew what they had and I knew what they were coming with. It's Jesus. And I jumped out of the car in rage, ready to fight, punch, and kick and kill. I hated it. I couldn't believe that I've come to have a good time and this is Jesus again. And they handed me the tract, and I crumpled it and threw it behind me and began to curse and wanted to throw my chest out. And one of my friends pulled me off and said, "Man, they're not here to harm you. Just come on. Let's go inside and have a good time." I went into the nightclub and began to have what I thought was a good time. And as I stood on the balcony of an upper deck in the nightclub watching the people dance below me, it looked as though the bodies began to mesh together and melt, and the people looked like they were burning, and I began to feel burning, and something inside of me said to run out of that club and find those guys. I left the nightclub on fire. Literally, I felt like I was burning up in a literal hell. As I exited the nightclub, there at the door, there's a line of maybe 150 to 200 people deep waiting to get in this nightclub. And there, amidst all the mockery, were the two gentlemen who had handed me the tract with heads bowed praying for me to come out of that nightclub. I tapped them on the shoulder and said, "Hey, I'm here to apologize to you for the way I treated you." And they began to try to share the gospel. And I said, "No, I didn't come here to get your religion. I just came to apologize. Have a good night." And I went back into the nightclub for my friend to tell me that, "You know, Johnny, it's time to go. We have to be at work. It's 6 in the morning." Those guys had stayed all night praying for me to come out of that nightclub. Well, I made my way back to Starkville Sunday evening. I don't even remember how I got there in the 6-hour drive because I was so delusional from the drugs. But I returned home and I was miserable. And today I can look back on those 3 days and liken it to being dead for 3 days in a grave, because I literally didn't eat, I didn't drink, I didn't go to class, and I did not sleep. I just sat there with my hands in my head on the side of my bed. And that one morning, that just something went off that I needed to go into my car. There was something there. I don't remember what I went to retrieve, but as I opened the door, there was that little pink tract crumpled up on the floor. And I took it out and ironed it out, pressed it out, and began to read it. And see, I was raised in a godless home. My parents were Roman Catholic, but not practicing, never taking me to church very much. I had heard very little about God and had developed atheistic beliefs in college from some of my professors. So this was the first time I really read the scripture. And it was in this tract, and my mind began to be filled with doubts. Is this a cult? Is this something that I want to be involved in, as I read Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Romans 5:12, "For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." But another light went off in my head, and I went to my book bag, I think to get a pencil to underline the verses in this tract. And as I unzipped my book bag, there was a testament in the book bag. Some crazy Gideon, while I was cussing him out, was unzipping my book bag, putting a Bible inside of it. So I began the task of searching the scriptures for the verses that were in the tract. And it took me hours to find verses because I'd never navigated my way through a Bible before. But as I read those verses, it was as if the scales began to fall off of my eyes and light entered into my body. And for several weeks, that's all I could do, was come home and read those scriptures after class. I didn't do anything but read the Bible. And I read, and I knew I was depraved and I needed help. And I turned to the back of that Gideon Testament on October 18th of 1989. I didn't know what I had to do, but I read there that the Lord's Prayer, and I fell on my knees and I said, "Lord Jesus, if you are for real, would you come into my heart and change me?" And I signed the back of that testament, closed it, and went to bed. And that next morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Do you know, my friends came to the house in the coming weeks to look for marijuana, and I would pull out a Tupperware dish and tell them I had some really good stuff, and I'd have that testament in there. I began to share the Lord with everyone I could meet, and was able in the next few days to have an opportunity to share with my mother as she was going through a rough time with my dad. And I was in that time able to see them saved. And through this period of time, I was able to share with both of my grandmothers and lead them to Christ. And last year, to see my grandfather, 2 weeks, the hardest, coldest, anti-believing church, religion, I hate God, man, cold-hearted, 2 weeks before he died, give his heart to Jesus Christ.
We plant the seed, God will give the increase. We never know when you place one Bible, even if you stick it in someone's backpack, when they're not looking, God will use it. We appreciate that. Okay, Tim, if you want to, you or Nick want to skip over to the angel tree ministry video. We'll watch it here in a second. But I had this all in order, and God had a different plan. So that's my fault about the order there. And also a part of the Gideon ministry or Gideon convention we just came from, we heard a testimony about a gentleman who was in jail. He'd been doing drugs and in jail several times, and he was in for a long time this time, and some little old man with suspenders came walking up his row there where he was and heard the end, and he, what in the world's going on? And he was talking to this gentleman in the jail cell about, would you like to have a copy of God's word? And the guy looked around and said, I'm the only one in there, must be talking to me. But he witnessed to him, and that gentleman eventually started reading the Bible as he had been instructed, and turned his life over to Jesus as well. This lady you see on the screen now, Mary Kay Bird, you ought to remember that, write it down if you don't remember anything else today, and go Google her. I did that, Mary Kay Bird. She is a Bonnie of the Bonnie and Clyde type couple. I read that she would go into jail when she was 27, not to jail. She eventually went to jail. She would go into a bank when she was 27, have a sawed-off shotgun, and throw it up on the counter and say, give me all your money, put it in a bag. And her husband were like a Bonnie and Clyde. But watch her little short. This is a shorter testimony of hers at this time.
I found myself in the Jefferson County Jail in downtown Birmingham, Alabama. There was a Bible there. I'd seen Bibles just like them in motel rooms everywhere I'd stayed. So one day alone in my cell, I picked up that Bible that I had shoved under the mattress. I just opened it up and kind of wandered through it and flipped a few pages of it. But as I did, my eyes were drawn to just two verses in the book of Ezekiel. A new heart also I'll give you. I will take that stony heart out of your flesh. When you're facing the rest of your life behind bars, there's nothing to lose. And so very quietly one night I knelt on that concrete floor in that little 5x8 jail cell, and I surrendered. And I knew in that moment, for the very first time, I knew that God had saved me. I was just blessed to be the person God used to start Angel Tree Ministries, because it's God. It's all about God.
And I also Googled Angel Tree Ministries, and it sounds like Angel Tree, like we do at Christmas. Take names of students in need and go shopping for them so they'll have a Christmas when the families can't afford it. Well, Angel Tree Ministries that she started was for children of those in prison. It's just like what we do, but it's for children of those in prison. And she saw how excited, even that their family sent them extra condiments, soap and toothpaste and stuff to their children, she saw how excited those kids were to get something from their moms or dad. So she started the ministry where they would buy Christmas gifts for children of those in prison. So God can use this anywhere, can't he? I heard a testimony even where someone in a submarine down under the ocean was reading a Gideon testament, been given to a friend and given to him, and he was saved there in a submarine under the water. So if we plant the seed, no matter what, God will give the increase, and souls can be saved for Jesus Christ. Again, do you know anyone that doesn't need Jesus? Anyone that doesn't need Jesus? That doesn't need a future and a hope, because that's what he gives us when we accept him, as you saw in those videos. We all need Jesus, don't we? Especially today in this world. Everyone needs Jesus. Part of what we saw this weekend was some scripture from Reverend Casey Dawson from Sunrise Baptist Church. He was our Bible Hour message speaker twice. His message was to be strong. The world needs us now more than ever to be strong and to stand up for Him. So I'd ask that you pray if this is one way that you feel God calling you. And if so, talk to Brooks or Pat or Brenda or I or Jim or Beth or any or talk to Pastor Robin. And Pastor Robin, I appreciate your support of the Gideons, and I appreciate you giving me this time in your pulpit to talk about what God is doing through this ministry. God bless you, and again, thank you for letting me come this morning.